back here. We did have a good time at the nursing home this evening with several new faces there to help out. So praise the Lord for that. We had a good men's visitation last week. We had seven come out last Saturday, last Thursday night to come visiting. And do be in prayer for this Friday night as we spend time and try to be a blessing and help with the Grabowski family. That is a great need there that we can meet. The Lord doesn't ask us to do things we can't meet. He just wants us to do the things we can do. And someone once said, "I'm but one person." That's all you can do is what one person can do. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. Just be faithful to that. And y'all pray for us as that comes up, that opportunity comes up. It was a blessing this morning having Brother Joshua Kidd and his family with us. They're going to come tonight, show slides, sing a little bit, and then tell us a little bit more about the mission there. And so y'all pay close attention, Brother Kidd.
Well, good evening. Thank you for coming back this evening. I guess I didn't scare too many people off. My daughters, a couple of them or three of them, have a song that they prepared, so I'll have them come now. Otherwise, I'll get my whole routine and lose track of what's happening. So, girls, if you would come at this time, they'll sing a song. They did quite well. The songs, it's kind of neat. The hymnal that we use, well, similar like this Yellow Missions book. It's all tunes that we recognize. It's just the words are a whole lot different. So they'll sing a little in Portuguese, and then I guess finish off in English. My wife so lovingly said to me, "Honey, I don't think that would be a good idea." So apparently she doesn't appreciate my singing voice as much as I do. One thing we've got on our back display table and is a packet of information which right now, as we speak, is in the process of, a whole big project is going on with this stuff. We have, God has opened the doors to the school systems in Cape Verde. And it all started with our the director of our ministry, when the work was first starting in Cape Verde, he had opportunity to sit down with the head of the school system for the country. And in talking with him and so on, he asked him, hey, would it be all right if I came back and brought you a Bible? And, I mean, much to his surprise, the man said, on one condition, if you give one to every student in the country. And I'm, of course, just blown away. So we have, obviously, it's got to be scheduled and set up in advance, but we have a wide open door to the school system in Cape Verde. So we have these packets, which this past week, there was a group from three different churches that flew over to Cape Verde to assist with this project. And they will begin tomorrow distributing in the schools these packets. So what it includes, first of all, is a gospel tract. Second of all, a notebook that just has plain notebook paper. The kids there in Cape Verde cannot go to class if they don't have notebook paper. And sometimes they just can't afford to buy it and so on, and so you get sent home for the day. However, on the inside of this book, we put the 20 most important questions about God. So we hand this book to the kids, and then we give the gospel presentation in front of the class. Well, what do you think all the kids are doing during the gospel presentation? They're looking at these 20 most important questions about God. And then, at the end of the presentation, do you have any questions? Guess what questions they ask. So we get to prime the pump, so to speak, as far as that goes. And then we have a Bible study guide, Born of God. And then an entire New Testament. And then I don't have it in this packet, but we also give them a John and Romans. And it's all in Portuguese. All the kids learn Portuguese in the school system, much like we would learn English here. So even though they speak a Portuguese Creole, they all can understand and read straight Portuguese. And so it's a great blessing that we have an awesome, awesome open door opportunity. And the great thing is, I mean, there's 9 islands on Cape Verde. 9 that have people living on them. So by the time we make it around all 9, the first island that we started this project on has a whole new set of students in it. So we get to start over and over and over again. So it's just a neat opportunity that we have, because we can't physically be on all 9 islands all at the same time. But we can leave the gospel with them. And the gospel speaks far louder than I ever could. So we'll watch a video here, just kind of answer a few questions. One of the main questions people ask me is, where is Cape Verde? And generally, there's only 3 groups of people who know where Cape Verde is, generally. Those who've been in the Navy, because oftentimes they've looked at it through the periscope or different things, or those who follow the weather, as I mentioned this morning, and then those who maybe study geography on a college level. Where Cape Verde is, but generally most people don't have a clue. So we'll show a little map where it's at. We'll show a video. Actually, I've got 2 videos combined. The second video, we heard a song back in October that some friends played for us, and it just really touched our hearts deeply. Meant a lot to us as a family. And so we made another video with that song. You all are probably rather familiar with it, but anyway. We'll go ahead and watch those. It starts off in Boston, I'll just say, because almost all the flights to Cape Verde, you have to get to Boston, and then from there you go to Cape Verde. So.
Preach Evangelistic Ministries would like to introduce you to the Kidd family. They have recently completed the Mentoring Men for Missions program, an intensive 1-year training program that prepares the entire family for life on the mission field. They completed a series of courses at our home office in Seymour, Missouri, and the remaining 5 months of the year were spent on the field in Cape Verde, West Africa. Cape Verde is a country of amazing beauty and incredible scenery. Like most third world countries, there is a very small minority who have economic means, while the vast majority live in extreme poverty, where running water is a luxury. However, regardless of economic status, they all need to hear of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus met the woman at the well to give her living water, it is the Kidd family's desire to share the news of living water with the people of Cape Verde. During their time in Cape Verde, the Kidds were involved in language and culture training, building relationships, and ministering in various capacities, while serving alongside veteran missionaries, the Philip Pritchard family. When they return, they will work hand in hand with the Pritchards to bring the light of Christ to a spiritually dark land. Following the example of the Apostle Paul, the goal is to plant churches and train national pastors to lead those churches and repeat that process again in another city. Prayerfully consider partnering with the Kidd family as they desire to follow the command given by Christ to the Apostle Paul, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Thank you.
clip we had. It was a Nissan Pathfinder that we were driving while we were over there. We had 15 people packed in the back of that thing, or in that thing total. So they don't have the same seatbelt laws that we have around here, of course. So, we saw some interesting things while driving down the road. But so as the video, the first video mentioned there, we did go through a one-year training program. It was more than just education. It was missionary training school. There's several purposes for the school, several reasons behind it. But one of them is from the time somebody says, "Here am I, send me," till the time they've spent the first 2 years in the field, roughly 80% of missionaries pack it up, go home, and never return to missions at all. And there's various reasons for that. And so again, some of the courses that we went through, the training that we went through, was intended to curtail this. So each class was the equivalent of a 2 to 3 credit college level course done in 1 week's time frame on top of life. So we went to class, went back to the camper, made lunch, and then my wife did school with the kids for the rest of the afternoon until supper time or so on, and I had various other projects. It's intense on purpose because missions is intense, and if you're not going to be able to make it through the program, you're not going to be able to make it on the field as well, especially in third world country environments. So some of the courses we took, first and foremost, was spiritual authority. If you don't understand and have a good grasp of spiritual authority, you're going to struggle in ministry. However, I'd say it's not just those who are involved in ministry leadership who ought to understand that. After going through that course, that's something that every Christian needs to understand. Balancing ministry with marriage and family, that was another one that we took. Again, that was one of the reasons why several missionaries left the field, was family relation issues. And you can neglect your family by spending too much time on the ministry work, which just isn't right. There needs to be a proper balance there. We spent a week on demonology and spiritual warfare. Again, that's something that's very prevalent over there, but it's becoming more and more prevalent here in the U.S. as well. So we need to be aware of that. That one, we were given different books to read, and one evening the building that we were staying at was under great amounts of renovation, and so there weren't living quarters inside. So we were living in the same RV that we live in now, and we had use of a garage that we kind of converted into a living room. And so one evening, must have been around 9:30, 10 o'clock, the kids were in bed. I went out to the garage to read. I had a recliner chair in there. I thought I'd kick back and read till I fell asleep. So I was starting to read this book on some real-life examples of demon activity and so on. And I'm reading along, and over on the side here, I hear this clank among some metal stuff that was piled up, and brushed that aside, and then I went over, and a little later, there was another clank over on this side of me, and a little later, I heard another clank, and that was enough for me. I shut that book and went back into the camper. I couldn't take that anymore. I'm a little nervous Nelly, I guess, but so we did that, but we spent another week on discipling, leadership, multiplication. I spoke this morning on discipling, and just how vital that is to the ministry and teaching the nationals how to reach their own people. That's incredibly vital. But then when we were in Cape Verde, there was three main purposes of our time there. One was to get a base understanding, base knowledge of the language. And so we did go to language class 3 days a week. And then it's immersion learning. So you get to go to class and then go to the market and use what you learned and so on. So it was a much more effective learning process than trying to take a class here in the States would be. We've got a lot to relearn when we get back, and we'll definitely continue with classes as well. Also was cultural training. We spent a lot of time learning culture, studying culture. culture in general, but then specifically the Cape Verdean culture. Again, this is one reason that missionaries struggle on the field, is because they don't understand the culture, or they do something and shut a door that quick without even realizing it, and it may take years to reopen, if it can even be reopened. So we spent a lot of time studying culture. And then also just being very heavily involved in the work of the ministry. Ministry has many, many different facets, as I'm sure you all are aware. I mean, just this ministry alone has many facets. Every ministry has different different areas of ministry work, so to speak. So anything from running a van to go and picking up people, to taking people to the airport, picking them up from the hospital, things like that. One girl needed to make a cake for one of her classes in high school. She didn't know how to make a cake. Her mother didn't know how to make a cake. In fact, they didn't even have an oven in the home to make a cake. So they came to my wife and asked if she would help her, which of course she did. So early one morning, bang, bang, bang on the door, and she and a few of her friends came in, and they started making the cake. And, you know, this is all part of the discipling process, too, in showing them that you care about them as a person and that you're truly interested in them as an individual. So while the cake was in the oven, Carissa and Elizabeth got to teach them how to play Uno, just different things like that. And she found out later, she got a very good grade, in fact, the best grade of the class, because her cake had icing on it. None of the other cakes had icing on it. So anyway, but again, it's just being a part of their life, showing that you care about them. And that is, in a form, ministry work as well. The end result was we grew to love the people of Cape Verde. It was very, very bittersweet as we were packing our bags to come home. We were excited to come back home and see friends and family, but we were also tearful to be leaving the people of Cape Verde. So we frequently get messages from them, I'd say pretty much on a weekly basis. Either Jenny or myself gets a message from one of them. When are you coming back? How are you doing? Sometimes it's, can you send me some money? But, you know, there's some of that as well. But they are eagerly anticipating our return. Again, as was stated in the video, we will be working hand-in-hand with Philip Pritchard and his family. We try as best as we can through Preach Ministries to follow the example of the Apostle Paul and work in a team aspect. There's accountability, there's support, there's different benefits of a team aspect. Two can accomplish more than one. You know, where one has strengths, others has weaknesses, and you can balance each other out and so on. So we're eager to get back to helping them. As I said earlier, they are in the midst right now of a school project, trying to organize, or well, it's already been organized, but now trying to facilitate 20 Americans in a completely foreign culture, foreign environment. Can be a little stressful sometimes, but Lord willing, they'll be reaching 12 to 13,000 students this week and next week with the gospel. So. We're looking forward to the fruit that will come from that. We did have opportunity also to assist in a church plant while we were there. That was exciting. That was neat to see the new life, the new growth. We started off meeting in the living room, and then by the time we came home, we had just found a facility for them to lease to hold regular meetings in and so on. So. But it's not, as we were talking to the pastor at lunch, it's not an environment where you would read in a prayer letter, we had 300 saved over the last month. It's a slow-going process. There's not massive amounts of conversions as far as that goes. Now, that's not to say there couldn't be in the future, because they serve a mighty, mighty God, and he can break hearts. He can open doors that no man ever could. So it is very encouraging to see things like this new church plant take off and be able to grow out of a living room within the matter of a few months. And that is our intent when we get back, is first and foremost evangelizing the lost. That is the primary purpose of us being there. Next, we will be discipling the new believers and the existing believers, myself with the men, my wife with the ladies. It's very important for the ladies to have a good foundation, a good understanding of the Word of God, because oftentimes the woman is the head of the house. Just due to their culture, I won't go into all the details, but due to their culture, it's more common for there not to be a man in the home than it is for there to be a man in the home. And so it's important, if we're teaching children in church, teaching the ladies in church, that the ladies understand the principles of God's Word and be able to lay that foundation in the home as well. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And so many times here in America, we misinterpret that and say, I desire a new suit. I desire a new truck. Your wives may say, I desire a new dress. And so God will give it to me, right? Because I desire that. I'm following God. Well, that's not at all the case. And that's a complete misinterpretation. What this verse is saying is, if I line my heart up with God, if my heart is in tune with God, he will place desires on my wicked, sinful, flesh-filled heart that I wouldn't ordinarily desire. And that's the same for you. He will place desires on your heart that you wouldn't ordinarily desire. And that's what he's done for us with Cape Verde. Cape Verde is not on any top 10 vacation destination list. If you search, there are some resorts on Cape Verde. There are some very, very plush areas, but we won't be there. those are other areas. But God's placed such a desire on our heart that we won't be content anywhere else. We do have our home up in Pennsylvania still. I'm fourth generation to grow up in that home. It's old family property. we were just there a few weeks ago having a garage sale mania. We were selling. But we couldn't wait to get out of there because that's not what God has for us, is sitting there at home. It's on the road doing exactly what we're doing now so that we can get back to Cape Verde as quickly as God will allow us. So, I'd ask that if you haven't this morning already or this evening, that you do take a prayer card. Just please pray for us. We need prayer, but more importantly, pray for the people of Cape Verde. They're very friendly people, very kind people, but they're a very hard-hearted people. They need God to work in their hearts, to soften those hearts for the hearing of his word. So, thank you for that. We'll get into a little bit of God's word here this evening. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, a passage you have all heard several times that we commonly call the Great Commission. While you're turning, let me just ask a quick question of why are we here today? And I don't mean the kid family, why are we here, but as believers in Christ, why are we here in the house of God? Simply put, we're here to worship God. That is our main purpose of being here, is it not? God, who's done so much for us. Speak for myself. Not the least bit deserving of salvation. Not even the least bit. And God has provided a way of escape for the punishment that I deserve, the punishment that you deserve. We all deserve to be burning in hell right now.
Simply put, that's what we deserve. As people, as wicked, sinful people, that's what we deserve. But we serve a loving God. And He made an escape for us so that we don't get what we deserve. Now, let's just imagine tomorrow morning someone comes and knocks on your door, hands you an envelope, and turns and walks away before you even have a chance to look in it. So you open it up, and there's $5,000 inside. Man, you're going to have a good week. So you go about, you just kind of do what you do with that, and you go about your business. And the following Monday, same person comes, knocks on your door, hands you another envelope, walks away. You open it up, there's another $5,000 in there. Man, I can get used to this, right? Third week, they come by, hand you an envelope, and they also this time hand you their car keys, say, hey, would you mind washing and detailing my car and dropping it off in my driveway? Yeah, I can handle that for you, no problem. You just gave me $5,000. I'll do whatever you want, man. So you do that. Next week, they come, hand you the envelope, and hand you a list of errands, their groceries, and things like that. They want you to go home and or back to their house and put them away for them. And sure, that's no problem, right? Somebody who's giving you $5,000 a week, you're going to want to keep them happy, right? You want to do what they're asking of you, pretty much. Well, it's very similar with us in Christ and our salvation, except that our salvation is forever. $5,000 a week could quit. Your salvation is forever. It doesn't go away. You're saved once, saved forever. But how much more valuable is your salvation than $5,000 a week? We'd be jumping through hoops for whoever gave us $5,000 a week. Would we give that much effort to Christ? My salvation's worth a whole lot more than that. Am I giving Him more effort than I would be the person who gave me $5,000 a week? It should be our utmost desire to make our Savior happy, to do what He has asked of us. Before Christ ascended into heaven, He left His disciples with some final instructions. And if we claim that title Christian, we must claim the title disciple as well. That being the case, these instructions also apply to us. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So Christ wants us to be telling others. Plain and simple, you can't take anything other than Christ wants us to be telling others. And not just others, but all nations. There's no one people group that is greater than another people group. We're to tell all nations. But then we're also, well, to teach all nations, we're also to baptize them, and then we're to teach them to observe, to do all things that Christ has told us here in His Word. As I teach my children, if I tell you to do something and you don't completely do it, then you didn't obey me. If you didn't obey me, well, what's that? That's disobedience, right? So it is our duty as Christians, to not just lead somebody to Christ or show them Christ, we are to follow up with them and we are to begin, let's say, the discipling process. We are to teach them the things of God's Word to the point where they learn and understand and say, hey, I should be baptized. And continue teaching them, as it says, all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
If we just leave it at, okay, thank you, you know, you got saved, wonderful, praise the Lord, I'll see you in heaven. If we leave it at that, we're not fulfilling this whole command. We are to follow up with discipling and teaching and so on. But back to that all nations. Christ doesn't put any one people group, any one country above any other. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If somebody doesn't accept Christ and dies and goes to hell, it's not because God didn't want them to accept him. It's not because God didn't want them in heaven. It's because they rejected the free gift that is offered to them, the free gift of salvation. Christ wants everybody to spend eternity with him. So if Christ is deserving of our worship, how much greater would it be if there was more believers, more Christians worshiping Christ? That'd be awesome, huh? So, based on that, I propose to you the greatest form of worship is to tell others of Christ. We can worship with our song, we can worship with our offering, worship with our prayer, worship with the preaching and the reading of God's Word, and they're all excellent and necessary and beneficial forms of worship. And there's many other ways of worshiping. But if our purpose here on earth is to tell others of Christ, what a greater form of worship. John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." And this is Jesus speaking. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Now, up in Pennsylvania, we've got some apple trees on the property. And some years are better than others. And so you go out and look at a tree, and, well, like this year when we were up there, there's a tree right next to our driveway. And, well, that's rather disappointing. I can count maybe a dozen apples on it, you know. And they're small. Kind of a bummer. But what was it? 2 years ago? The apple trees were so full, the branches were starting to break. And you look at that, and like, man, look at that. Look at all those apples. It brought joy. Well, that's like Christ. If we're bringing much fruit, we're bringing him joy. John 14:15, Jesus is speaking again. He says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, at first glance, that seems like an impossible task, because just in the New Testament alone, there's listed 127 commandments. And I'll be the first to admit, I do not have them memorized, and I'm probably not keeping them all, because I don't know them well, or haven't memorized them all. But if we, well, let's go back a couple chapters. Matthew chapter 22. Try to finish this up quickly here. Matthew 22, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so on, and they're trying to trip him up and catch him. Matthew 22, verse 35. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" Then he continues, verse 39, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. So, if we're loving the Lord our God, as it says, with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, doesn't leave much room for sin and iniquity to be filling our lives. Just the mind part, I'll tell you, the gray matter in between these two ears can come up with a whole lot of evil just on its own. But if I'm filling that with the things of God, if I've got my mind focused on the things of God and God's Word, it's not going to leave room for wicked imaginations. But then the second one, it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now when Jesus spoke these, neighbor didn't necessarily mean the person the next house down or the person across the street. Neighbor was anybody that we came in contact with. Just imagine if as Christians, if we obeyed this commandment, what a difference this world would be. Because as human beings, generally speaking, we are selfish creatures. We love ourselves pretty greatly. Well, if I were to love you as much as I love myself, if I were to love that ornery cashier at Walmart as much as I love myself, if I were to love that beggar on the street corner as much as I love myself, if I were to love that drug addict relative who's stolen from me three times already as much as I love myself, this world would be different. I'm not saying enable sinful behavior. I'm just saying love. Show the love of Christ to people who desperately need Christ as their Savior. If we follow these two commandments, it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We're well on our way to fulfilling the other 125 commandments that are listed within the New Testament here. So I know it's not easy. We get distracted. Other things begin to occupy our minds, our hearts. We get focused on other things, and we get off track. And that happens. Daniel, you know, back when he was taken into captivity, would have been a whole lot easier for him if he would just have eaten the food that they gave him, drank whatever it was they gave him to drink. Would have been easier for him. Excuse me. But Daniel 1:8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And we need to do that too, not just a one-time thing. We need to daily purpose in our heart. Make a conscious decision that I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. I will love my neighbor as myself. Daily, we need to purpose in our hearts. And as fellow believers in this church, and the churches the next town over, and the churches in other states, and churches in other countries will do this, we can set the world on fire. Set the world on fire for Christ, that is. It is possible. You know, when we first think about setting the world on fire, man, that is just, that's a daunting task. But if each one of us will purpose in our heart that we'll love the Lord our God with everything that we have, we can truly, truly make a difference. You can make a difference in your community. in your workplace. You don't have to go across the ocean to make a difference for Christ. As I said this morning, we're all commanded to go. It's just a matter of where Christ wants us to go. Some people he does want to go across the ocean. Some people he just wants to go across the street or across the hall and tell others. So I just encourage you, tomorrow morning when you wake up, purpose in your heart. Tuesday morning when you wake up, purpose in your heart. Wednesday morning when you wake up, purpose in your heart. And every morning thereafter, you'll notice a difference in your life. You'll notice a difference in the lives, or a difference in the lives around you. Pastor.
Amen. Dan, let's take our yellow book here, just seeing off the fellow, page 8. Thank you, Brother Kidd. I appreciate it. Page 8 in our little yellow hymn book here. If they never see the light, at the cross. So I understand our people.
Praise God and sins my Savior.
Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you for the Kidd family being with us. We pray, God, you bless them, keep them safe as they travel to their next meetings. We do ask you, Lord, to bless our church. Help us to be mindful, Lord, of the task at hand, and that is being obedient to you and your word and sharing Christ and lifting up Christ high and holy and righteous so he can draw all men to him. As the mission statement for Northside Baptist up in Georgia was this, may it be ours as well, making much of Jesus. God, help us to make much of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.